Now we'll ask our teachers one by one to suggest to you, perhaps in essence, what they hope and that you will take with them from their presentation. So, Adi Purusha Prabhu, Hare Krishna, good morning. Would you like to speak first?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Vinitamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Vaigunya Kita Kalita Paishunya Vrana Pidita Dainyarana Venivagnaham Chaitanya Vaidyam Asraye. I am bitten by germs of my material defects and I am burning in boils of envious and critical mentality. Therefore, I immerse myself in the ocean of humility and take shelter of Dr. Chaitanya. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Kadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Krishna is the best doctor. We even have Leelas where Krishna cured Radharani from very dangerous snake bites. She was bitten by the snake of separation and Krishna cured her. And of course this is a separate story. Krishna is happy to help all of us in 1.2.19. Srila Prabhupada says Krishna is more eager, more anxious to bring us back to himself than we, bring us back home, back to Godhead, than we can desire. And then we, that's very hopeful news, that's very hope-instilling news, that at least Krishna is very anxious to bring us back. So, being kind, he comes, performs pastimes, and he leaves these pastimes. As Katha, he leaves the holy name. For japa and kirtan. So we can be cured of all the obstacles. So in the last 3 days, in the morning, we have been discussing that Krishna is always fair to everybody. And Krishna is never cruel. Krishna is kind. And these two ideas is what keeps us in material bondage. So even as devotees, sometimes we think Krishna is cruel or Krishna is not fair. As soon as we stop thinking this, we are free, according to Balade Vidya Bhushan and Sridhar Swami and Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada says that the guideline for every devotee should be the skillful art of finding how everything is Krishna's mercy. And today we read the verse 4:29:51 saying that if you know that Krishna is your friend and that there is no need to fear anything from Krishna, you know everything. And you are a guru. And you are together with the Lord already. You're coming to the Lord very quickly. If you know He is a friend. So, the Bhagavatam gives us so many jewels which we can use as the therapy. And they're not disappearing as ordinary medicine. They shine forth. And it's up to us. Many years ago, Niranjan Swami was asked by his disciple. His disciple said that I am very successful in book distribution and collection of donations, so sometimes I feel proud So should I work on this pride myself, or should I just continue my service and let Krishna purify me? And I never tire to repeat this interesting answer Niranjan Swami gave. He said, if you just continue, Krishna will purify you. But how he will do this, you may or may not like. So no problem. Whether you take the medicines and therapy, or you just continue, then Krishna will help. One way or another. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much.
Gora Braganya Gana Gocha Guloru Haram Goranga Gura Tamagopyara Kopa Briksham Gopala Gara Rati Dam Yati Singha Gora Govinda Deshika Varam Satatam Namami Vanshakopa Drubhishcha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'd like to make a few more comments on the sixth verse of Raghunath Das Goswami's Sri Govardhan Basa Prarthana Dasakam. He describes her stala jala saspire bruhu hachayayacha pratipadamanukalam hanta sambhadayangaha trijagati nijagotram sartakam kyapayanme nijanikata nibasam dehi gobhadanatvam nijanikata nibasam dehi gobhadanatvam. So his chorus is Nija Nikata Nibasam Dehi Govardhanatvam. Giriraj, please give me residence near you. And as we mentioned, most of the time the translators, they give Govardhanatvam as one word, meaning that Giriraj, give me residence near you. But if you, according to Sunday, if you break it up, then it means let me come close to your understanding. Let me adopt your mood. So, by the mercy of Satchinanda Maharaj and Burijan Prabhu Mother Jagat Tarini, I've been able to take part a little bit in this function for the last few days and get some association with the devotees. And by their mercy and the mercy of all of you, a few thoughts have come to my mind and heart for myself, which you might also find useful for your continuing journey in Vrindavan. As Satchinanda Maharaj said yesterday, don't leave Vrindavan, don't leave. In Orissa, I'm an English editor, so I have a problem sometimes when people say something that's not proper English. And I used to have a problem with the people there in Orissa. When they were leaving, they would say, Prabhuji, I'm just now coming, as they were going. And I would say, you're just now leaving. When you're entering, you say, I'm coming. When you're going, and they say, no, no, you don't understand. In our culture, we don't like to say we're going. And so when we're going, we say, I'm just now coming. And so we never want to leave this retreat. Rather, we're just now coming to the next retreat. And it never finishes. So how can we come close to Giriraj? He gives a hint in this verse. I spoke something about this, but I'd like to continue because every word has some deep meaning. Raghunath Das Goswami, he says that that Giriraj, his nature is samvardhayangaha, that he's nourishing samvardhana, the ga, the cows. And he says in the next line that trijagati nija gotram. Trijagati means in all the three worlds, nija gotram. This is therefore gotra. Gotra means name. But the word gotra has a number of different meanings. It's very interesting. Gotra also means an umbrella. And Giriraj is also compared to an umbrella. Gotra also means a mountain. Gotra also refers to a goshala, or a place where cows are kept. And gotra also refers to a family name. So, if we take some other meanings of this word gotra, nija gotra, your line or your family, then we could say that throughout the three worlds, nija gotra, Trijagati, nija gotra, your family, your gotra, your family business is to be a mountain, which also means gotra, a mountain that samvardayan, that nourishes all the cows. And go also means the senses. Go also means the gwala, or the cowherd people of Braj. And in that sense, it also refers to Krishna, because he's Go Brahmani Hitayacha. He's also a gwala. He's also a cowherd boy. So Giriraj nourishes all those personalities. And I was thinking how here at this place we're faced with a great contrast. In her closing talks last year, which we're printing in our magazine, which should be out in a couple of days, Mother Jagat Tarini, she spoke in a nice way and how her realization was how you can see two different devotees here. You can see Indra and you can see Giriraj. Don't think that Indra is just some low-class devotee and you should give him a Bhagavad Gita or something and preach to him. In the Bhagavatam, the Charma Shloka, the Bhagavatam, the most important verse of the Bhagavatam, Eti Chamsa Kala Pumsas, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. How does it end? Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Ridayanti Yuge Yuge. Krishna comes again and again to help Indra. Indra's kind of like the GBC in charge of the universe, the temple president. He's a great devotee. He's a great administrator. But we see here at Giriraj that Indra had a different mood than Giriraj. Indra's mood was he wanted to be the center of everything. He wanted to be a big, big devotee, the main person. And he became upset and angry when the Brijbasis didn't give him respect. He's the poster child for the verse in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Archayam eva haraye pujam ye shadayegate na tadbhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smita. It speaks about a prakrita bhakta, or a materialistic devotee, who Archayam eva haraye pujam ya, that they have some shadayegate, some faith in giving worship to Krishna. Indra has faith in that. And he makes sure that you understand that Krishna, one of his names is Indranuj. He's the younger brother of Indra. And he says, you can worship Krishna because Krishna is in connection with me. And you should also worship me because I have this position. I'm the manager. I'm the temple president here. I'm your Siksha Guru because of that. But we don't believe in rape. We don't believe that guru is somebody who's forced upon you. It's not something that it's something we accept according to our heart and according to our faith. So Indra was demanding that worship, and he became angry and envious when originally at the place known as Indratal, or the hill of Indra, which is now, we were mentioning, underneath the bus stand, where traditionally the Brijbasis would raise a flag to begin the Indra Puja. That's where it all began. The word flag means dvaja, is dvaja in Sanskrit, and is an interesting word that dharmadvaji. Dharmadvaji means someone who's waving the flag of dharma. In other words, they're a hypocrite. And this is what Indra is acting like here at Giriraj. And Giriraj's mood is just completely the opposite. Indra wants to be the center of everything. He wants to be a big, big devotee. But Giriraj is a much bigger devotee. Giriraj, as we spoke, is Krishna's personified love for Radha. Giriraj has come from the heart of Krishna. And he's come as the greatest devotee. And what is the mood of the greatest devotee? He doesn't want to be the greatest devotee. He doesn't assert himself, as Mother Jagat Tarini said very nicely last year, when Indra sent all of his spies to Braj to see what was going on and how the Samvartika clouds were affecting the Brijbasis, or why they weren't worshiping him, rather. They came back and they said, they're not worshiping you. What are they doing? Oh, they're worshiping a pile of rocks. That's how she put it. That's Giridhar. Giridhar seems just like a pile of rocks. He's not a big, big person. He's not the number one book distributor during the marathon. He doesn't lead a lot of kirtans. He doesn't give a whole lot of classes. He's not the big temple president. He's a very quiet person. And what does he do? Samvardayangaha, Samvardayan, he nourishes the senses, the cows. He nourishes everyone. Giridhar, in that sense, is the ultimate team player because he wants to support all the devotees. And he reciprocates, he helps serve all the devotees and all the different rasas. He just wants to please Radha and Krishna, and he doesn't want anything for himself. So I found this such a wonderful lesson, and I'd like to read a couple short things to you. First of all, from Srila Prabhupada. You've all heard these kind of things many times. This is from a letter Prabhupada wrote to a devotee named Krishna Veshdas. In 1975, he said, our movement is based on love and trust. So if we do not cooperate, then how is that love and trust? He wrote a letter to Krishna Das in 1970. Always work cooperatively. In Krishna consciousness, without any self-motivation, and your progress toward the perfectional stage of Krishna conscious life is certain. So we were mentioning the other day that this is a difference that I've heard from many older devotees. In Srila Prabhupada's Seva Sangha mission today, as compared to the late 70s, there's not so much a sense of importance of Guru Seva, of being Nishtha to Guru. When Srila Prabhupada would tell devotees to do something, that was it. They did that. But today, if Gurudev tells us to do something, we say, Guru Maharaj, I don't like that. And if you tell me that again, I'm going to go make a complaint to the GBC about you or something. You can't speak to me like that. That's our mood, more or less, today amongst many devotees. But we should understand that the instruction of Gurudev, that's our life and soul. So there's a nice description of this. How powerful this point is brought out by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Sartha Darshani commentary on the Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 28, text 34. It's such a controversial, heavy thing, I'd like to read the Sanskrit to you also. Sutan hitveti pativrata patyo eva guru sevayam pravrita sishya shravana kirtanadinyapi bhogantad Utana premanandad api grihan tad uchita vivikta stalam api naiva pikshate Sri Guru sevaivaya sukena sarva sadya siddhyartam ityubadesha vyanjita Guru sevaya eva vedana sarvadi kashyok kakvad. He says that a devoted and chaste wife, while she's serving her husband, this is the classic example of a chaste wife. She doesn't even care about her son. She's so devoted to her husband. She's just thinking, what is the pleasure of my husband? And the son, that comes secondary. And he says, similarly, a disciple who's deeply absorbed in the service of Gurudev doesn't depend even on hearing and chanting. Because he understands that by Guru Seva, he can get all perfection and devotion. Just in the same way that a devoted wife doesn't want any sense enjoyment and home comfort, so also a disciple who's completely absorbed in Guru Seva doesn't seek even the divine bliss arising out of hearing and chanting, nor even seeking secluded places suitable to bhajan. I had a talk with a devotee who came to visit yesterday. It was very interesting. He's an old friend, and he was telling me, I'm going to hear from such and such devotee in the line of Raghunath Das Goswami, and then tomorrow I'm going to see this Babaji in Barsana, and there's another great lady devotee I'm going to see, and I'm hearing this far out thing and that far out thing. I felt a little sad, because that kind of attitude, it sounds very nice, and we would like to go and hear from so many elevated persons. But according to Ramanujacharya, you won't hear anything. Because he says in the Gita that we have to have Shravan Adhikar, the qualification to hear. And that qualification comes from three things: Pranipat, Pariprasna, and Seva. We should submit ourselves. We should inquire submissively. And we should render service. There has to be a relationship. Otherwise, you don't have Shravanadikar, the qualification to hear. And Narottam Das Thakur says, Sunile na sunakana. It goes in one ear and comes out the other ear. It's just some information. So you may go, and the information may be very high information. As we mentioned the other day, sometimes in ISKCON, the devotees are giving classes on stress management in the Bhagavad Gita. I'd rather hear Radha Rasa Sudaniti from someone at Radhakund. But if you go there and neglect the order of your guru, or if you go there and you don't go there with a proper mood, that have a relationship with that person. I've been living in India for 25 years. We do research. We go all over. I've met so many sadhus. But I don't go to people to hear from them, even though they may be very, very exalted and have so many good things to say. Why not? Because to properly hear, it means I should develop a relationship with them. And I'm not willing to do that. Because I have a relationship with my Guru Maharaj. I have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And it's not just about information. It's not just about my perfection and worrying about how I'm going to make advancement. That's the mood of Indra. But we should adopt the mood of Giriraj. And just be a humble servant of Guru and Krishna. And want to uplift everyone else and serve everyone else, even in a very, very quiet way. So this is some of the reflections that I got from some of the hearts of the devotees here over the last few days and from Giriraj. And I want to thank everyone very, very much for letting me take part in this program. Our dear friend Bhakta Rupa Prabhu, one of my Gurujanas, was here for a few days. And on the first day I told him, I said, you know, for me, this is my family. As Satchinanda Maharaj was also saying the other day, this is our Govardhan retreat family. But a family means that we have some responsibility to them also, that we stay effects with them. We don't just run here and there in so many different places. And we think about everyone else's benefit. That's what it means to be a team member like Giriraj Govardhan. And I'd like that. I'd like to be a team member of this Govardhan retreat. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Vansha kalpadri vishcha kripa sindhu vyeva cha padita namapavani vipaishnavi vyeva.
Nama om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami iti namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarane. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, here we are. We've reached the time that all must come to, where we again, for some time, step out of the magical atmosphere of Giriraj. But each of us is taking something with us. Some people are taking their notebooks full of wisdom, and other people are taking home their recordings so that they can listen again to what they've experienced and heard while they were here. And for me, I again put down all my sacred books of transcendental lila, and I pick up the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam and hold them near and dear for the purpose of giving something to the souls who are battling the forces of material nature without the good fortune to come here into this transcendental land. I would like to apologize to any devotees who may have attended the evenings that we shared together, who may have felt a little uneasy or slightly confused by the mysterious pastimes of Krishna stealing the gopis' clothes. Some people may also have thought that Krishna acted a little unfairly. Actually, these thoughts came to my mind when I was making this presentation. There was part of me that kept seeing this pastime from, I would say, a worldly perspective. And that's quite natural because we're surrounded by people who see like that and who will always be confused. So at such times, I would very carefully make my steps back towards Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas to give me some guidelines with which I could proceed with healthy confidence towards this beautiful subject matter. So I would like to share with you three points that really helped me many times. The first one is to always remember, as in Bhagavad Gita, the tree on the side of the river. The tree on the side of the river. The reflected tree and the real tree in a photograph may even appear to be identical. But one of them has temporary reality and the other one has substance. So Srila Prabhupada says, in this connection of Krishna with the gopis, apparently it is abominable. But in the spiritual sense, this is the highest, highest perfectional stage of love. So this world is a perverted reflection. There is such a psychology that a married woman wants to mix with a friend, or a married man wants to mix with another woman. Where has this come from? It comes from God. In God it is there. But there, in God, it is in perfect order. And here, it is contaminated. So we should not imitate the perfect thing. We should not imitate the perfect thing in the contaminated place. A healthy man eats as he likes, but a diseased man, if he eats as he likes, he will die. Death is sure. So he must be restricted, but not the healthy man. So if you really want happiness, if you really want freedom, and if you really want everything in reality, then you have to transfer yourself to the spiritual world in association with Krishna. This is the whole process of Krishna consciousness. Number one, the reality and the reflection. Number two, another interesting concept, the reality and the shadow. This Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about. The shadow confirms the reality of an object. You will never have a shadow without the object, or the object without a shadow. So he says, all spiritual ideas are similarly pictures from the material world, because matter is the dictionary of spirit. This is very fascinating, what he is trying to say. All material pictures are but the shadows of spiritual affairs which our material eye carries back to our spiritual perception. So as our perception becomes purified, when we see the things of this world being the shadow of the reality, they will no longer shake our mind and make us attracted to them, but they will remind us that there is a beautiful reality and this world is just a reflection. God, in His infinite goodness and kindness, has established this unfailing connection between the truth and the shadow in order to impress upon us the eternal truth which He has reserved for us. It is on these reasonable grounds that Vyasadeva adopted the mode of explaining our spiritual worship, explaining spiritual subjects with some sort of reference to material phenomena, which corresponds, as the shadow does, with the spiritual truth. And the third impression that has helped me very much as I was preparing, and I take back with me when I return to my service in other places, is the one of learning to juggle. If we had arranged everything very nicely, we have a wonderful short video of my dear husband learning juggling in a spontaneous encounter at an airport. A young man was standing there with some balls in his hand, and he asked my husband, "Would you like to juggle?" So first he handed him one ball, and he was throwing it up and down, up and down, up and down, and he was doing quite well. So I equated one ball is like if you're just a simple, straight, fully dedicated materialist, then you juggle one ball and you can be highly successful in what you're trying to do because you're single-pointed. But then we become a devotee and then we have to start juggling two balls. We have our material life and all of its commitments and responsibilities. In the other hand, we have our spiritual values that we're trying to integrate into the other, and we start to try to juggle with two balls. But two balls is not impossible because you have two hands. But when you come here to Vrindavan, you take the next step. And Prabhuji, when he was juggling two balls, sometimes he was dropping them. And then the expert juggler, he said, took out another ball. He had three balls. And while he was talking to us, he was juggling three balls, very relaxed. And that means that one ball is up in the air and two are in the hands at all times. So when we come here, we juggle our spiritual life, we juggle our material life, and we juggle trying to understand how everything is meant for the happiness and pleasure of Krishna. So this is quite a feat. So let me complete my presentation with a nice quote from Srila Prabhupada. Because we have no spiritual understanding at the present moment, we sometimes are misguided, thinking, just like Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, some rascal people take it as the ordinary dealings between a young boy and young girls. But it is all transcendental. It requires, I mean to say, a service attitude to understand this. The whole thing, the basic principle of understanding Krishna consciousness, is surrender. Nobody can understand except one who has fully surrendered himself. Sevan Mukhi Hi Jivado. Sevan Mukhi. One whose attitude is to serve and not to challenge. To him only is Krishna revealed and to none others. So now comes our opportunity to return to our fields of service, to practice the teachings and the principles that are so dear to us or that we're now just learning, and to pray to Giriraj, because he's very playful. He's very, very playful. So you should pray to him and ask him that please, if it is your desire, please allow me to come back here again, to be by your side, and to continue my practice of juggling three balls. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you. And thank you to my beautiful musical friends who made the gopis' clothes so beautiful. Thank you. I'm going to leave the musical friends,
but not quite yet. Omaginatiminandasya, Janajana Salakaya, Chaksu Samilatan Jaina Tasmai, Sri Gurave Nama, Sri Chaitanya Manabhistam, Stapitam Jaina Bhutale, Sayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadatisa Pandantikam, Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vayabhicha, Patitanam Pamanebe Obhaitsam Vibhu Namo Nama. Actually, I asked the juggler. It was so interesting because we were in the middle of the Perth airport and I'm sitting there in a dhoti, or standing there in a dhoti trying to juggle these balls. I asked him, what's the secret? This time I'll tell you what the secret is. Don't worry. He said, don't look at the balls. You have to look in between at the center. So that fits perfectly into your analogy, because if you keep your mind on all the things you're juggling, you'll just drop the balls and get confused. But rather, you have to keep your consciousness on the center. And the center is Krishna. Yes. There were three things that I wanted to say, and that they have derived from the class that I gave, but not having directly to do with the class. The first one is the Bhagavatam, on the Bhagavatam. Because we all know the pastime that I spoke of, or almost everyone knows it, of Krishna's birth, or the events prior to Krishna's birth. And from studying in preparation for this class, what I understood is there is so much in the Bhagavatam, there is so much in Srila Prabhupada's purports. We think we know it, but actually it has unlimited depth. So please know that when it comes to Prabhupada's books, they have unlimited depth, and they limit death also. But our consciousness has to be in the right mood. And we think that we've heard everything already that Prabhupada has to say, but it's not like that at all. That comes from not taking the words that Prabhupada is speaking as instructions meant for me. That is my realization. There is one part in the fourth chapter, third chapter, where that I didn't read, where it describes where Sukadeva Goswami describes to Maharaj Prakrit the austerities that Devaki and Vasudev went through to have Krishna as their son. And they performed incredible austerities for 100,000 years. And they didn't eat, practically speaking. They didn't sleep, practically speaking. They didn't drink, practically speaking, for such an ununderstandable amount of time. And at the end of that, when you perform austerities, the real point isn't to give trouble to your body, but it is to control the mind. So at the end of that thousands of years, all their hearts had been completely cleansed of material desires. And that was the purpose of their austerities. And then their prayers were very effective. So what is Prabhupada going to say in his purport? He's going to say practicing austerities is, like this, is impossible for the purpose of cleansing your heart of material desires. But we chant Hare Krishna, the Sankirtan. We chant the holy names of Krishna, and that is sufficient in this age of Kali Yuga to bring complete purification of the heart. So, how many times have we heard that? But when you take it that we want to purify our heart, and chant Hare Krishna in the proper way, and you will actually purify your heart. And Prabhupada is telling you that when you read it in that way, it's completely different than, oh yeah, chant Hare Krishna, I already know that. So read Prabhupada's books in a very serious way. As Prabhupada, take them as Prabhupada directly instructing you. That's what he wanted to do through his books. So take it deeply, and there's unlimited depth, because Purnako Dhanoditaha, this is Krishna we're dealing with when we're dealing with the Bhagavatam, and this is such an exalted soul, Srila Prabhupada, who we're hearing from. That was the first point. Second point is that there was an idea that I had that I was going to cover the first four chapters, and I got half of what I was, I got through half of it because I became quite excited about what I was speaking about and didn't want to just rush through it. And second point is, don't over-endeavor, because I was in so much anxiety preparing for so much. How am I going to fit this in? And the reality was I couldn't fit it in, and I didn't want to fit it in. And also now I don't have to prepare as much for next year. So out of the difficulty came a blessing. But due to the mode of passion in this world, we tend to over-endeavor so much, and it causes so much anxiety. And therefore, when we're in the mood of over-endeavoring, it's so hard to do something simple like chant Hare Krishna, and with your mind focused on what you're doing, because our mind is doing 50 other things, at least 50 other things at the same time, and therefore it sounds too simple. Just chant Hare Krishna and purify your heart. And as our Satchinandana Maharaj says, you're not focusing. And that's when we tend not to do that, and therefore we tend not to get the result that we were hoping for. But if we actually focus on hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, what to speak of chanting with devotion or calling out, then the result will actually be there. When we actually read and in the mood of hearing and taking the association of the Bhagavatam and its great commentators in Srila Prabhupada, then the result is completely different. So don't over-endeavor. Become simpler. Simplify your life. And the third point is just with Madhavananda Pool. May I, that poem that I, may I read that actually? Is it okay? The poem on Girish that I sent you, because in Madhavananda's next, oh, excuse me, I have a phone call. Could you all go on hold for a minute? Who's doing this to me? Anyway, who cares? Anyway, this is just the birds in the forest answering. This is what I need musical accompaniment for. Okay, ready? This isn't exactly a poem. It's a sort of poem, because it doesn't really rhyme. And the lines are all different sizes, so it's not a poem, but it's a sort of poem. Are we ready? Okay. It's called Giriraj Govardhan Welcomes All. He, the immovable, rested on Krishna's little finger as mighty winds and storms tortured the Brijbasis. He, serene and peaceful, freshly bathed, cleansed by Indra's rains, remained radiant, beautiful, undisturbed. Anointed by the fragrance of Krishna's divine body, he heard the flute song as Giridhari cheerily balanced him on the smallest finger of his left hand. Even as fierce rains and blinding darkness covered the sky above him, as high-piercing winds and hail battered him, as Indra's thunder clapped and flashed overhead, he saw Krishna's effulgence and felt his sweet breath's touch and felt only ecstasy. Giriraj's affection warms me like a dear friend. His trees, gnarled and bent low in surrender, are shelter. To the Brijbasis, he is Baba. If you have a problem, go to Baba. He will help, they say. He is the softest of rocks, the original rock star. He is the softest of rocks, the original rock star, the favorite hill in Braj, the best of Hari's servants, and he soothes away pain with his own joy. Sadhus and bulls, parrots, cows, monkeys, Gujarati pilgrims, begging Brahmins, and bhajan singers. He consoles and comforts even the most fallen who embrace his shelter. As he, Giriraj Govardhan, welcomes all to Braja, even me. That's my sort of poem. Hare Krishna. Huh? Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna. Krishna, yes, here we are. Hare Krishna. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satayane Jai Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Namaste Girirajaya Shri Gaurvadana Namine Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Daine. I would like to speak about what I was trying to deliver to you as possible gifts for you to take into your life and into your Krishna conscious practice. Now, to preface it, I need to say that I do have a very personal relationship to the instructions which I repeated to you. I think it is necessary to practice spiritual instructions in order to remove the veil that is keeping us separated from the spiritual reality. And I was
the day before yesterday, thinking deeply about it, I had a great need to be a little bit just with Giriraj, and so I went to Giriraj Govardhan. I sat down in the dust just before him, and I was looking at Giriraj. All of a sudden, I saw something or someone moving on the hill. It was a shade, and I could see it was not a monkey shade. So I became a little curious, and my attention went from my japa to that movements on the rock. And I saw the movement was frozen. Or freezing the moment I looked and tried to identify. It was almost, I thought it was like a person who wanted to remain anonymous, and the moment he feels that you look at him, he goes, that you can't see him and distinguish him from a tree, for instance, or another surrounding. This happened a few times to me. There was something moving, and I looked, and it chose to be invisible and not recognizable. If you all think this was Krishna, you are mistaken. But you are also correct in another way, which will soon come out. What was it? It was one Nila Gau, who was just there, only maybe 5 meters, 6 meters away from me, and who was looking at me intently. I have seen this in Braj. When you sit and you become absorbed in chanting, the monkeys stop being monkeys, the snakes stop being snakes, the mongoose stop being mongoose. They all become what they really are. That is, great souls who are here in Braj, and for some reason or another are in different types of bodies. You see that when you see a good sadhu absorbed in his practice, the monkeys around him playing, and snakes are sunning in the sun, no problem. Mongoose are there. It is a very nice embrace, because the Brijbasis, even if they are monkeys, can recognize absorption. So I saw the Neil Gau. Then I like Neil Gaus. I started to look around, and I saw altogether 8 Neil Gaus who were freezing. They were standing or sitting or reclining on the rock, and they didn't move in order to not be discernible from their environment. And I liked this very much. I heard Vichbasi saying that whenever you see a couple of Neil Gaus, you must know Krishna is nearby. So maybe Krishna was nearby. So it went on, and I felt very welcome in the atmosphere. I chanted again, and then when I opened my eyes a little bit, I see the Neil Gaus were moving. In other words, they were now okay with me, they were not afraid any longer, and not hiding any longer. And we were all there. Parrots came, monkeys, Neil Gaus, and we were chanting. And as I looked more closer, I all of a sudden began to understand here is a spiritual reality which at the moment I'm not able to fully comprehend. I was sitting before Giriraj and looked at him and said, yeah, we heard in the lectures, Madhavananda said he's the greatest servant. He's a person. I see only a rock, but he quoted Raghunath Das Goswami. It's a person who can reciprocate with you. Wow. Then I heard another vision way to see Giriraj is to see him as directly Krishna. Shailosmi, I'm that hill, said Krishna. But I look, I see a rock formation, and I must be very honest. I saw similar rock formations somewhere else, but not exactly the same. He's really unique. And then as I looked, you know, and surrounded with this idyllic Franciscan ideal of peace amongst humans and animals, as I looked, I understood here is someone, a spiritual reality, which I cannot see and understand, but I would like to see and understand the whole picture. In fact, I'm quite curious. This was, and I said, but Satchinanda Swami, wait a minute. Are you just believing Madhavananda, you know, and who repeats some ancient slokas? I mean, where's your individuality? Come on. What do you believe? What do you already understand? And then I thought, what I really understand and what I really feel is the atmosphere of sweetness. What I've really seen here is that my heart gets transformed. What I really can understand and feel, not just with my faith, but with my direct experience, that each year where I come here, I begin to understand deeply, beyond words even, another aspect of Vrindavan, which was closed before me. In other words, I could understand, Giriraj, you're doing something with me. I can't see you yet very clearly, but what I can see and understand is you're doing something on me. I feel this by the effect your presence has on my heart. I feel this by the way you change my perspective. I feel this by the way you change my life goals and orientation. You are there. You are moving a little bit here and there, but I know you must be the person which I hear about in the scriptures. But still, I feel there is a veil covering you and me. Something about you, your real identity, which I can only understand by hearing and by investing my faith in what I have heard. So I wish to go further in my spiritual life and in my understanding. I really wish to go further. This is my feeling, and I had this feeling for many years. This time it was more pronounced. In my presentations, I wanted to give instructions which help one to go further. The first presentation, which was very difficult for me to give here in Giriraj, was the Vritta Sura Katha. I wanted to share with you how a devotee called Chitraketu was purified by the Lord, who arranged that he was reborn as a demon and increased his prema in that, or his love of Godhead in this life former. I'm very intrigued by this story. I took out a lesson for all of us, which I hope you will remember. Chitraketu's problem was a split in his spiritual life. He was pretending to be a devotee, Haribol, Haribol, but he was still attached to a female association, and Shiva corrected him. He said, "I hide my face as a devotee, and I portray to the world a face where I look like an attached person. Both of us deceive the people. You deceive it by showing a very saintly face to the world. I deceive the people by showing a materialistic face to the world. And you need to learn now to become devotionally not only in the outside, in your outside portrayal, but devotionally in the heart." That was the main lesson I wanted to cull or extract and present to you. I heard for some of my listeners it worked. One person said, "Your lecture was like an atom bomb. I never could imagine being shredded into pieces like that." And I thought, fine, that was my intention. And I hope you now know how you can put yourself together in the way you should be a devotee inside and outside. And he said, "Thank you very, very much, but why do you always talk so subtly?" I said, "There are reasons." The second kata was much easier. It was about Gop Kumar receiving instructions on the threshold to Vrindavan. There were things which Gop Kumar needed to know in order to understand Braj Bhakti. I talked about many things, and I know you have forgotten most of them because you are Hare Krishnas, who listen, who suffer from overdoses of information and can't hold anything. But there's something I wanted to bring to your attention, and this is what I want to repeat here. I repeated it three times. This will be the fourth time. What should Gop Kumar do to come to Vrindavan? Narada Muni told him, first of all, to come to Goloka Vrindavan is not so easy. It cannot be done by one's own strength. You require the mercy of Krishna. You cannot climb the raindrops in order to get to the cloud. In the same way, you cannot, by your own efforts, come to Ghanasyam Krishna. It's not possible. You have to wait that Krishna invests in your case. But that mercy, that powerful mercy, which Krishna can invest in you, is attracted, you can show Krishna that you really want it, by two practices and one mood. The practice is, you must meditate about Krishna or remember Krishna. I think we are more comfortable with the word remember Krishna. We have heard this more often. And we must sing about Krishna. My dear devotees, some of you have requested me to sing kirtans. And I thought there are other kirtan leaders. And you have said, no, you please lead kirtan. One devotee said, why do they always call upon you? I don't know, I said. But then another devotee said, Maharaj, you have a secret. What is your secret? That's why everyone calls upon you. I said, well, no. I just happen to be the oldest one. And devotees said, what is your secret? And my dear devotees, I don't know if I have a secret. I don't know if I have understood anything. But I have faith in something. There is empty kirtan and there is full kirtan. The kirtan and even the japa becomes full the moment you relate to Krishna. The moment you sing for Krishna. The moment you sing with your lips, make a sound, and that goes into the ears of Krishna. That should be your consciousness. And at that time, a relationship happens. So in order to do this, you need to know a little bit who is Krishna. And I think Bhurijam, Prabhu, Jagatarini, Madhaji, Madhavananda, Adipurusha, they have told us secrets about Krishna. So that we can... when we hear Krishna, we know, huh, Krishna. And when we are asked to think of Krishna, we don't go blank. No, I don't know anything. How can I think about Krishna? No, we have some informations. So my faith is that by combining the two, I got this idea only from Briya Bhagavatamrita. That's how you make advancement. You do dhyan, in Rupa Goswami's word, you remember or think of Krishna, or on an other level you can meditate about Krishna. And then you sing gana for Krishna's pleasure. And then you need to, this is what the instruction of Narada Muni is, and then you need just one more thing, the mood. The mood. We have consequent egoists in the spiritual scene who ornament themselves with great pretension. It is important to come to the mood of helplessness and hopelessness and come like this to Krishna. It's called in Sanskrit dainya. In Iskon jargon, it's called humility. What this means is you really understand, on my own I'm worthless. I have some worth for making money, or I have some worth in sense gratification. I'm extremely expert in these areas. But when it comes to approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I cannot rely on these material qualities. I need the mercy, and I need to feel helpless like a child who cries for the mother. Who cannot manage the life without the mother, can't even walk without the mother. So this is Narada Muni's instructions. Gopkum, and then he ends, he says, you should know one thing. These three practices become all of a sudden infused with life. Remembering Krishna, singing Krishna, about Krishna, and doing this in a mood of dainya. They become infused with life when you do this together with devotees and do sankirtan together with devotees at a holy place. And I'm unlimitedly grateful, really, to all of you that you have come with your good Krishna consciousness. You have sat with us here for 7 days. You have gone through your ups and downs, but you have persisted in the retreat, and you have opened your mouths and your hearts to sing and to hear about Krishna. This was a marathon. This was an intense effort for some of us. But rest assured, Giriraj has heard us, and there will be a shower of mercy which will move you on. Giriraj has heard you. Giriraj has seen you. But my request to you is, come again and again. One time is not enough when you take a shower. You need again to take a shower. I mean, most of us do, daily even. This is required. Or eating. One time eating is not enough. In the same way, cleansing your heart in Giriraj's presence and becoming nourished should not be done in 1 year only. It should be done consecutively again and again. So please take these instructions of Narada Muni to Gop Kumar to your heart. Don't remember them don't forget them as quickly as you are accustomed to forget spiritual things. Keep them. I'm sorry, I'm poking you a little, but that's required. Keep them and apply them and see the change and the miracle happening. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Thank you for your polite applause, but you need to do this. Krishna.